So I know it's been a lot of work this week because in addition to the Senior Bowl, you guys just got done working the East-West Shrine Game. But for me, I just did an interview, a radio interview, and someone asked, like, what do I like most about covering the Senior Bowl? And I said that it kind of, like, kicks off your pre-draft process. I know you guys have been working on it all year, but what do you like most about covering the Senior Bowl?
I think in a lot of ways it's our first time being around these guys, and you get to look them in the eye mm-hmm. and meet them as people. We get all the information from their coaching staffs in college and support staffs. We build a character profile and write scouting reports on them, but until you can put a face with a name and get a real feel for them as people. And then there's also players. You can only do so many schools as an individual scout. So there's obviously a lot of players that our scouts haven't seen yet move around on the field in person. So it is a good kickoff to the postseason process. But yeah, we have been doing a lot of work on these guys throughout the fall and throughout the last number of years in a lot of cases.
So I haven't really dug deep into the strengths of this draft class. You know, like I feel like I go in waves where it's like you finish the season and then now, you know, free agency is kind of like your priority, but you also know like draft strengths. Can you tell me a little bit about this draft class? And you can share as much as you want, as little as you want, but just from some strengths and weakness standpoint, since you have such a good outlook on the whole draft class?
Yeah, I think it's a strong draft across the board. Without giving out any secrets in terms of like specifically who we like, I mean, I think it's a strong draft on both lines of scrimmage. There's some skill players obviously on both sides of the ball that we like as well. I mean, we need to add good players at mm-hmm. every spot. So I think there's players maybe depending on the position, it would be maybe different areas of the draft that would be stronger than others. But you know, just because of you know, there's not say 5, 6, 7 first round prospects at a given position doesn't mean that there's not depth and you know ways to add quality players in round 4 or 5 or and so on. So I think overall it is a strong draft, and we're still working through the process. So we're far from you know, finalizing anything or reaching any final answers on where we're going to put these guys on our draft board. But definitely a lot of guys and still a lot of work to be done.
I've heard it's a strong tackle class, my initial reading.
There are, and there's a lot of good tackles that are down here. Yeah. Some of those guys can kick inside and play inside as well. But there's some – I was just down there on the field right before we were doing this, and, you know, it's a good chance for us, like I said, to get up close and personal with these players and stand right next to them. You can hear the pads pop and you know, just kind of feel how violent some of these tackles are and the defensive linemen that they're going up against. And it's just an awesome exposure from that standpoint. But yeah, there's a lot of tackles that we like in this class. There's a lot of tackles that I'm sure most of the teams around the league like as well, but it'll be about working through the process. Like I said, getting to know the players, character and their personality and all that stuff, and then obviously continuing the evaluation on them as players, and then we'll just find out which ones are the best fits for us.
What would you say if you look at the last couple of draft classes, and not specific to the Bengals, just overall, has been maybe the most shocking thing in terms of trends for you? Like, I mean, it's been the last couple of years, I feel like the run on receivers has gone like 5 in a row. And then, you know, before that it was, you know, the quarterbacks. Like, has there been any trend that you've noticed in the last couple of years that has been interesting to you?
Specifically for the Bengals, you mean?
No, or just in NFL draft, the way that it's changed in terms of people, you know, giving up everything to get up to 1 or 2 for a quarterback. I mean, what do you think about some of these trends that have happened?
I think what comes to mind is that there are a lot of, you know, really talented executives that are getting in that general manager seat. And a lot of, I would say, if you want to call it the new age of general managers, are really aggressive, maybe more so than in years past, and those big aggressive swings to move up. Because there's, I mean, let's call it what it is. It's there's a lot of urgency to win and win very quickly in this league. It's a week to week, year to year type of league, and if not, you know, you could end up being on the hot seat. So the aggressiveness really stands out. And then, like you mentioned, with positions, I mean, I think there has been a priority on skill positions, offensive weapons, quarterbacks, receivers. And it's become, you know, a little bit more of a passing league in some cases. So those guys are obviously going to have a ton of value, the guys that can light up the scoreboard for you. But we need to be mindful of that. Our staff specifically, we need to be mindful of that, but really, you know, not lose our focus on the trenches and playing well up front and having quality, not only starters, but depth and rotational pieces as well. But those are some of the things that stand out just off the top of my head.
So in your role, when obviously I know you, the Bengals are unique in that, yes, your title is that you oversee college scouting, but the way I've learned that you and Steve work together in terms of like cross-checking each other when he is doing free agents and you're doing drafts, you have been doing in-depth reports on the Bengals draft picks for a long time now. And I don't want to put you on the spot, but I am curious, is there a player in the last, let's say from the Joe Burrow draft that, I was talking to Duke yesterday and he said, you need maybe like 2 years, 2 to 3 years to really see. I mean, you hope that the guys contribute right away, but like to really tell what someone can be in the NFL, you need to give them at least 2 to 3 years. Mm-hmm. Is there someone that comes to mind? I mean, obviously, you know, we know about the Jamar Chases of the world, but from 2020 to now that you think, because you saw him from whenever you started watching him on tape to maybe at the Senior Bowl, or maybe he didn't play at the Senior Bowl, that you think has really just been like a diamond in the rough that you're like really proud of, that you feel like people should know about his journey to where he is?
That's always a hard question for me because it sounds cliche, but everybody always wants to know, oh, who's the one guy that you found that was your under the radar gem that you put your name on. It really is like such a process where everybody's involved and everybody has a piece of it. I may have been the main guy scouting so-and-so, but then we have other people that cross-check them. We have coaches come into the process, our ownership's involved. So it's really, I know it's probably not the perfect answer for your question, but there's not a guy that I would say I would have my name on, specifically, excuse me. But I think you are right in terms of it does take time. You need patience with these guys, 2, 3, 4 years, whatever it is. And a lot of our job is projection. What can this guy be, whether it's year one, year two, year three, down the line? So, you know, it's a lot harder these days when you've got guys in college for six, even more than 6 years at times, compared to some guys that are only 3 years out of high school. And, you know, some of the guys we're interviewing here are only 20 years old. So that element of projection is a tough part of our job. And you know, it's something that's going to continue to be a challenge for us.
Tell me a little bit about that. I'm focused on the last two draft classes. Tell me a little bit about Cam Taylor-Britt. I mean, we all saw him just, you know, become a star, and then unfortunately, you know, he got hurt, and that, I mean, he was on track to maybe be a Pro Bowler this year. Tell me about the journey of how Cam Taylor-Britt got on your radar, and then how it got you to drafting him when you did, and then now seeing him in his second year really take ownership of his role as like the number one cornerback for the foreseeable future for the team.
Yeah, Cam's a guy that we're proud of, obviously, just as an organization going through the whole process. He was here at the Senior Bowl. You know, I mean, you see all of the traits that our scouts liked in him. Christian Sarkisian, in that example, would be the primary scout, the area scout for Nebraska. He would go through there, put an initial grade on him, get all of the background work done on him, talk to everybody there at the Nebraska staff. Then we have additional layers to that process in terms of other scouts and coaches cross-checking him on tape. We brought him in later in the process. Obviously, you interview him at the combine before that, but then later in the process into March, you go to his pro day, and then we brought him in for a visit in April as well. So you kind of fall in love with his magnetic personality. You probably see him in the locker room, all of the juice and energy that he brings, and then that translates to the way he plays on tape with his energy, his violence and physicality that you don't normally see from that position at that high of a level. And I agree, he was playing at arguably in a Pro Bowl type of level before the injury. So he's a guy that we've got great hopes for. And again, it's like I talked about with projecting, we think there's even more upside for him to continue to get better and better. And we like the trajectory he's on and the way he's trending.
I think he's quickly become a fan favorite. I mean, he's become one of my favorites because last year I did a podcast with Mike Hilton in May, and it was really cool. And obviously you're very aware of Mike's infectious personality, but Mike brought on someone new every week, and Cam was our first guest, and we were trying to figure out the swing of things for me and Mike, and Cam just came in, and it was really the first time I've seen him, because his first year he was still like a little bit shy and getting used to talking to reporters and things like that. And he came in, and it was like he was so comfortable, and he just let his personality show. And from that moment on, I was like, wow, that guy's a fun guy to talk to. And then last year he became like one of your go-to guys every week in terms of reporters wanting to talk to him, just because he keeps it real and he's honest, but he does it in like an eloquent way, which I think he's a special guy that I know the fans are really excited about. That's why I want to start it off with asking you about him.
Yeah. And that's, I'm glad you said that, because that's a perfect example of how our process works in terms of projecting these guys, because we go in there and we talk to their staff members at their school. We want to know who they are at their core, like who genuinely are they as people, what's their makeup like in terms of work habits, personality, all of the different boxes that we check. And then, yeah, you're right. You're going to come in to a new situation after being comfortable and being, the man in college, so to speak. And then you come into the NFL and it's a new environment. You're learning a new playbook. You're in a new city. So you may not necessarily show your true personality that he does now that he's comfortable, but it's about, what is this guy at his core and what is he going to be? Because a big part of it is what he's going to be in our locker room for us, and not just what he can show out there on the field.
What about, let's talk about some of last year's draft picks. Miles Murphy, tell me about the process of scouting Miles Murphy. What'd you think of his first season? And then I wanted to ask you about DJ Turner too.
Yeah, Miles Murphy, extremely talented prospect and player. Hopefully as his role continues to grow, you'll see some of the flashes that he put on. I mean, he showed, the high-end traits that he has and what he can do this year. Unfortunately, just we knew coming in that we had some talented defensive linemen, defensive ends in particular, in this case, on the roster, but you never know how it's going to work out health-wise and all of that stuff. But he was a guy that, I went through Clemson myself, Trey Brown as well, scouted him, went through the whole process. You're down at the pro day with him. He puts up, unbelievable numbers there. And then you also see that on tape. Obviously some guys test really well, but you don't necessarily see that explosion in speed, on tape that, that like you do, like you may see with other guys. But I think his upside is through the roof. I think you're going to continue to see him get better and better. Obviously, it's the same situation on our O-line, where we had all five starters start the whole season. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that's a good problem to have, that maybe that's the reason that he didn't play as much as you would like to see him out there. But I think his role will continue to grow, and we're very positive about the trajectory he's on, and we're happy that we have him. DJ Turner, another really talented guy, high upside. He really started off the year really strong. He needs to probably continue to put that through the finish line. That's another, a young guy that you're not, now Michigan probably played a little bit longer season than some of these schools, but you're coming in with, what, 3 preseason games and 17 games. I mean, that 20-game season can be a grind. So he'll come in and have a really good offseason. We've got really high hopes for him as well. I mean, I think he showed this season that he can be a starting corner in this league. You know, where our coaching staff decides to play him, whether that's inside, outside, whatever his role is going to be up to our coaching staff. But in terms of our personnel staff, we're very positive on the way that he's trending, and really that could be the same could be said for pretty much the whole draft class. We're happy with them. They just need to continue to play, get more and more reps, and that's really the only way that you're going to get better.
What about Jordan Battle? I'll finish up with the DBs since I'm hitting on that with you right now. What'd you like about his season?
He carved out that starting spot there midseason. I think what was it, the Baltimore game, and really played well. I mean, I think if you look across the league, he was probably one of the better young rookie mm-hmm. safeties for sure. Out there playing, but he showed all the stuff that we liked about him in the scouting process at Alabama. You know, extremely instinctive, smart player, good tackler. Can cover zone and man. So we're really happy. I think he can be one of those building blocks as well that can be a long term starter for us. And we're really happy to have him. Obviously, none of these guys are perfect. I don't want to oversell them that they're the best players in the world. They all have moments where they miss a tackle or they mm-hmm. get beat in coverage or they whatever the case is. But just in terms of who they are as people, their makeup, their character, what type of teammates they are, and the talent that they have on the field, I think all three of those guys will be long-term steady contributors for us.
So if I switch to the offensive side of the ball, there's 2 positions I want to ask you about, receiver and tight end. And you guys are in a unique situation with receiver. There's a lot of unknown there with T. Higgins and his future. And then, yesterday talking to Duke, he said, Jamar's in our long-term plans and he's eligible extension. But when you look at the receiver class, draft prospects this year, there's a couple that have, the big names with Marvin Harrison Jr. Mm-hmm. What do you feel like this receiver class has? Do they have some good gems from like round 2 to 4? What can you tell me about the receiver class?
I think it's a really good receiver class, at the top and, depth-wise, middle to late rounds as well. And like we talked about before, I mean, that's a position that I think every team's looking to address in terms of those offensive weapons. Yeah, there is a little bit of lack of clarity at our receiver position right now with guys' contracts being up. And, we've got some young guys that we drafted last year that we like as well. We've got Jamar's situation, who's obviously a superstar in the league. So we like where we're at. I mean, we may be biased, but we think we had the best receivers in the league the last couple of years in particular. But we need to continue to add to that position for sure. And if we choose to go that direction in the draft, if the chips fall that way, there's definitely going to be some good options in this draft at receiver, and they come in different flavors. There's smaller speed guys, big guys who can make the contested catches. There's some guys that can do a little bit of both. You've got the crafty route runner. Some guys are a little bit better run after the catch type of guys that can be used in different roles in different ways. But we'll just need to work through that process and just kind of put a value on all these guys, stack our board, put them in order for us. And it doesn't matter, how the rest of the league has them rated or how they're rated publicly. It just matters how we have them. And we'll just kind of let the board fall how it does.
You think there'll ever be a scenario that a receiver would ever go number 1 overall?
I think has it never happened before? I don't know that answer off the top of my head. I probably should know that.
I say that.
I think so.
I think Marvin Harrison Jr. is the closest in terms of like the highest I've seen in mocks.
Yeah.
In a long time. Like I think a lot of people have him potentially going the top 3, and that's obviously been you've seen receivers go at 4, 5, 6, but now with Marvin, where he falls, just curious if you think like that could ever be something that happens.
It all depends. I mean, obviously the premium on quarterback is usually going to take precedence, and then it would just be how high end of a prospect is that receiver? What's the situation of the team drafting number one? Do they have an established quarterback? And is that receiver too good to pass up whatever trade offers they may get for mm-hmm. other teams that may be looking to trade up for a quarterback or whatever other impact player they could be looking to go up and get? But yeah, I think for sure a receiver could go number one. It just depends on the situation.
Tell me about the tight ends. Last year, I feel like I heard from the summertime, like just how good the tight end class was last year in the draft. Duke talked yesterday about, you know, how you guys liked a bunch of the tight ends, but it didn't fall where it needed to fall for you guys to take one. You don't have any tight ends under contract, but he did say yesterday that you can promise you guys will have a tight end under contract. Yeah. What should people know about this year's tight end class?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of guys that we like. I do agree. I think last year's tight end class was probably one of the better ones in recent memory. And we really liked a lot of those guys. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, unfortunately, it just didn't break the right way for us in terms of acquiring one of them in the draft. They were definitely heavy in a lot of our discussions. They were at the forefront, and we had really big grades on a number of those guys, and a lot of those guys ended up playing well. So it's a situation where, you know, looking back, we had a lot of those guys, most if not all of them, graded appropriately, and then it's just a matter of how it falls. But obviously, like Duke said to you, we definitely will have tight ends under contract. We'll fill out the 90 man training camp roster. We'll fill out the 53 man roster. And yeah, there's guys that we like in this year's draft. There's guys that we'll target in free agency as well. There's some of our own guys that we'll look to re-sign. But we just have to go through the process. And, you know, obviously you'd love to have the tight end that you like and the defensive lineman and the corner. And, you know, it's just, unfortunately, you just, you know, maybe we can find a way to acquire multiple high round picks where if we can move around a little bit or make some trades and we can address multiple positions. But that's part of the discussions and the hard decisions that have to be made because you've got that pick and you can only take one player, unfortunately.
Who, since you've been in Cincinnati, who has been the most pro ready in terms of your report matching what they came in and did? Who's the most pro-ready draft prospect you've graded since you got to Cincinnati in your position?
Pro-ready?
Joe.
I would say, yeah, I mean, Joe was off the charts in terms of his readiness mentally and physically. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jamar came in and lit the league up right away. Obviously, he had, you know, his storyline in training camp that he had drops, but I mean – once the real games, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that was it. The Minnesota game was his first game, and he had that long go ball touchdown down the right sideline. But yeah, I mean, from that point on, it feels like he hasn't looked back. So he was, it would be hard to argue that he wasn't one of the most pro ready. Yeah. I mean, he's rookie of the year and lit the league up. But yeah, Joe from a mental and physical standpoint was about as ready as it gets. And he obviously was in college longer than Jamar was, so he had more time under his belt and exposure to different offenses and just the things that he learned and the foundation that he came in with. But both of those guys come to mind.
So I just have a couple more for you. The one I want to ask you is more about like your process. You're on the road a lot in the fall. How do you watch and keep up with the team in terms of like, do you watch the broadcast with everybody, all the fans on Sunday? I mean, obviously I've seen you when you're at the home games when you can be, but like, or do you watch position by position the next day? Like, how do you keep tabs on the team and the games as the season goes on?
For the away games, I do travel to a lot of the away games if it makes sense. Sometimes I'll try to fit in a college trip, go to maybe a college game on Saturday the day before that's in the area of our away game. So I make most of our games home and away. Sometimes it's just not possible with the travel, like you said, but if I'm there live or if you know, on the rare case that I'm at home watching it on TV, I'll watch it usually from the press box or a box that we have for the scouts. Sometimes I'll be in the coach's booth on the headset as well. So that helps me get a perspective on what our coaches are asking for, get a feel for the play calls and the flow of the game and things like that. So that's a benefit in terms of that perspective that I gain there. And then the next morning, all of us as a personnel staff will come in and watch the game film and really just analyze every player. You don't usually watch it multiple times and mm-hmm. go through position by position. We just may rewind each play 5, 6, 7 times and you're looking at all 11 of our players and then looking at the opponent as well, obviously. But yeah, we'll do that and kind of critique where we can get better, who's playing well, you know, just different strengths. And then the cool thing about how we do it is we have a smaller staff, yes, but we're all there in Cincinnati, so we're in constant communication with our coaches, and that helps us yeah. stay on the same page and bounce ideas off of each other. But that's kind of our process in terms of our games and evaluating. And then as soon as we get done with that watching of the tape, then we meet with the ownership and coaches every Monday, or late morning, early afternoon. And then, you know, once we go through that process, it's usually back to watching college prospects or watching right. pro guys. You know, maybe there's injuries from the game and there's, you know, a guy that we need to come in and fill a practice squad spot or whatever the case is. So it can be different week to week, but that's generally kind of the main outline of it.
I'll wrap it up by asking you, how excited are you for like this time period? I mean, this is like your guys' Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, it's exciting. I mean, it's a long grind, and we just have to. Everybody wants the end results of like, oh, what, you know, how are these rankings gonna come out? Who are your top guys? We don't have all the answers to that yet because it's about working through the yeah. process on a day to day basis. We have to embrace that process and go through it and do the work. I think everybody on our staff enjoys doing the work, so that's the good part about mm-hmm. what we do. We get to you know, really have fun at what we do every day. Now it's a lot of work and a lot of time, effort, and energy and sacrifice goes into it. But once we you know, focus on that process and get through it, then it's worked out well for us in terms of the results. And obviously we can always continue to get better mm-hmm. and continue to work to tweak and improve things. And we will do that, but it is exciting and it's kind of, you know, you feel like you're spinning your wheels at some points in the process, but you just kind of have to stay focused. And yeah. then once we get to this postseason, you can kind of see a little bit of the light at the end of the tunnel and, you know, just keep at it. And, you know, we'll let the chips fall where they may from there.
Thank you so much for joining me. Good luck the rest of this week.
Thank you. I appreciate it.